Appreciate you being here. Take your Bibles, turn to Luke tonight. Turn to Luke. Luke chapter 15. And also, if you would, stick your finger in Matthew chapter 18. Luke chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse 1. Matthew 18, we'll start reading in verse 12. I really believe it's important whenever you're studying within the Gospels to read the parallel accounts. I hope y'all have picked up on that, because you read one account and you see a little bit something that you don't see in another account to get the whole picture. I think it's good to read it. And I have an unusual title for the message tonight. I'm going to preach on this subject, looking out for number one. It's not what you think. When people say that in the world, who are they talking about? You're looking out for number one, right? Well, am I talking to God's people tonight? Somebody help me. Am I talking to a bunch of people that don't believe we're number one? Say amen. That believe he's number one. And so what's close to his heart tonight ought to be close to our heart tonight, looking out for number one. And I think about sometimes, Brother Jim, when we put stuff on the internet, maybe just the title would cause somebody to click on it. I don't know. But anyway, let's look at some truth here tonight. The Bible said, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured." Just as sure as anything is being done for the Lord, somebody will be murmuring. It won't make everybody happy. I mean, you can take this with a grain of salt if you want, but if our country was to turn back to God and we were to have revival and we were to go to believe in the Word of God, ought to be the foundation, the principles that the nation's built on again, it would make a lot of people happy, but it wouldn't make everybody happy. There'd be people griping and mumbling. What do you mean prayer in school? What do you mean the Word of God in school? I can remember them reading it over the intercom when I was in elementary school. Now, it went away. It went away by the time I got to junior high school. It was gone. But they used to get on the intercom, and somebody in the office or one of the faculty would pray over the intercom, and somebody would read Scripture over the intercom. Can I tell you this? There's a lot I don't know, but the school was a better place back then. Back then, the teachers, I can still remember the bus driver, Brother Wayne, that long. Not all I know is she had blonde hair, and it must have been that long. But how she took me under her arm when my mom put me on the bus the first time and said, "Honey, I'll take care of you. You sit right out there crying like a baby." Amen. Did you say you're going to kindergarten? No, they didn't have no such thing as so long ago. Amen. I was going to first grade. But it's different now. The Bible said the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, what were they murmuring about? "This man receiveth sinners, and he eats with them." Boy. "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose how many? One." Looking out for number one. "If he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." I just thought of something. Y'all can only imagine how happy I was when Charlie called me. You can only imagine. Yeah. Brother Wayne, if you get a call one day from a man that used to be an inmate, he tells you that Christ has changed his life. You can only imagine
And by the way, let me say this, Brother Wayne, you may never get that call, but it may still be so. I told a story, I think, last Wednesday night about the lady with Brother Brian in the gospel tract. Y'all remember that? As far as I know, that woman still don't know Brian got saved. But she will. He'll get to thank her, won't he? Amen. And she will one day. Let's look over now at Matthew just a moment. Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. In Matthew chapter 18, let's begin reading in verse number 11. Matthew chapter 18. Well, I went on both sides of it. There we go. Matthew chapter 18 and verse number 11. The Bible said, "For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost." You remember in another text, Jesus said, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You remember in another text, the Bible said like something like this, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And what that's talking about is not necessarily that they were righteous, but they thought they were. You remember just like the parable of the Pharisee and the publican. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. God couldn't help them. But those that were sinners and knew they were sinners, they could get help. He said, "How think you if a man have 100 sheep and one of them gone astray, doth not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be he find it, verily say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not," watch this now, "it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you tonight for the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for your people, for the body of Christ that's gathered tonight for prayer meeting, Bible study. I pray you'd speak to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to be looking out for number one, looking for that one that we might be more like our Savior, that we might live a life closer to the heart of our Savior. Lord, you came looking, seeking to save that which is lost. Lord, I pray that you will help us and help us, our Father, that we might be sensitive to the sweet Holy Spirit in these days. In Jesus' name, all of God's youngins said, amen. I want to give you a couple of things tonight. As many times as I've read these scriptures, I picked up on something as I read it today that I never thought about. It said here, they leave the 99 and go into the mountains in one of the texts. And in the other text, it says they go into the wilderness. I believe it's, you know, basically talking about the same thing. But what we're talking about tonight, listen to me carefully, is not easy. Did you hear what I just said? The other morning, I was actually over at y'all's place. I went in there turkey hunting where the girls and Brother Matt owned some property. And when I was sitting on top of the ridge, when I played the little whippoorwill for you, I had moved from there about 30 yards is all after that I heard a turkey gobble. And I didn't want to go any further. I was afraid I'd get too close to him. I wanted to try to bring him to me. That's when grown men sit down at the base of a tree and try to sound like a girl so that the old Tom will come and volunteer for Miss Eve's kitchen. That's the idea. But somewhere in that 30 yards, Brother Ralph, I realized when it got good in daylight, I couldn't see good. And I went like this. I didn't have my glasses. So I thought, what did I do? Did I get excited? Because before daylight, I had laid them off up there. I said, did I get excited when I heard that turkey and just jump up? Well, did I lay them down here in the leaves? I'm getting old. It's hard to remember what you did with them. And so, thank God it wasn't 130 yards, but within 30 yards, I knew somewhere there was a $600 pair of glasses within 30 yards. I wasn't real confident I could even get off that mountain without them. I mean, right now, Brother Michael is just a blur. Right now, he's married to a pretty woman. Amen? Here's what I'm going to tell you. It took me over an hour. And you know what it took? It took determination. And you know what it took? It took going back and forth and back. I said, well, they'll be up there where I was sitting. I went up there, got down on my knees. And you know, it's fun looking for glasses because you can't see what you're looking for. Brother Gary, I remembered something. This was after an hour. I'd already followed the trail back and forth, back and forth. Turkey's still gobbling, but there's something more important right now than the kitchen. It's finding my glasses. I'm back and forth, back and forth. No, they wasn't in my pocket, Brother Wayne. Brother Wayne, believe me, I checked them all. I checked on top of my head. I checked everywhere looking for my glasses. But I remembered something. There was a beech tree that was, the limbs were real thick on it. And I remembered when I went through there that it knocked my hat off. I got kind of tangled up in them. And I said to myself, that's another place. I looked at point A, I looked at point B. Now this was point C, and I looked everywhere in between. And when it flipped them off my head, they went about 6 or 8 feet down below. But I found them. It wasn't easy. What God is calling on you and I to do as His people in this world is not easy. Did you hear what I said? It's not easy. It's a wilderness. It's mountainous. But they're out there. Most of God's people in our generation and in many generations are content with the 90 and 9. And really, that's about all they're concerned about is their attendance in the house of God. Can I tell you that our Lord is concerned about more than the attendance? He does want the house to be filled. We establish that in the Word of God. But what I'm trying to get you to see is, how many knows how people get saved? How many know how people get saved? I'm going to give you something tonight. Here's what I'm wanting to give you. One at a time. It don't matter, you know, I'm not being critical. I've watched Billy Graham crusades where they've got up and hundreds have walked the aisle. But I'll still tell you this, they all got saved one at a time. Every one of them that got genuinely born again was saved one at a time. I want to give you something tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Several things. Number one, let's just run through these quickly. This should be our purpose. And the Bible said, I've touched on this before, as the Father has sent me, Jesus prayed in John 17, even so send I you. This should be our purpose. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 1 and 2, they then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmuring, saying, this man receiveth sinners and he eats with them. How many believes when Jesus was here on the earth, he knew what his purpose was? And he wants us to know what our purpose is. I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to him carefully. It doesn't matter if you're young, like Sister Shelby, or old, like Brother Preston. I'm building points. I'm going to need them one day, youngins. It doesn't matter who we are. It would change our life tonight if every one of us would start begging God every day, Lord, before I die, just let me make a difference in one person's life. Show me that one, Lord. Show me that one. Now listen, the Bible said you have not because you ask not. If you don't have a burden tonight, maybe it's because you haven't asked Him for a burden. I'll say this tonight. I have found out in life, the burden really doesn't come from praying. The burden comes from going. What I'm trying to say is this. Those that will go where the children are, Brother Kenny, and see how they're living, will get a burden. Those who will encounter, Brother Ralph, those who are lost like Jesus did, and speak to them and just get to know them a little bit, they'll get a burden. Some of you ladies and Brother Rick, you work, I think, in the colleges or the school system. I'm not sure, probably administration, but everybody knows somebody that don't know Jesus. Get a burden. This should be our purpose. Secondly, it should be our priority. If you look in Luke chapter number 15 there where we are, look at verse number 3 and 4. He spake this parable. He said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The Lord reminded me today as I was preparing to preach, my son raises cattle. I'm going to say this. I hope and pray to God I can get to heaven without having to raise cattle. I'd rather raise children and grandchildren, amen? But you let a man, a farmer, you let somebody that's got responsibility, at times he's had over 100 head that he was responsible for. Brother Grizzle, you let a little gap get in the fence somewhere, and you go down there to check your property and check your cattle, and there ain't no cattle. Can I tell you what you do? You start looking. Can I tell you something else? It's work. Because the cattle don't always go where a four-wheeler can go. They'll go up hollers and down hollers. They'll go on the backside. They'll go in briar thickets. They'll go places that you never dreamed a cow would even want to go. And most of the time, because it's one rogue cow that's leading them all. That's the Baptist cow. I've seen my son sweat profusely. You don't want to know why? Because you don't lay down at night till you get them back in the pasture. You say, preacher, why? Because what you've worked for all year is gone. And you're in the hole. Jesus said, what man of you, if you had 100 sheep? He's trying to show us tonight the heart. You remember when David was taking care of the sheep and the Word of God said that a lion came and a bear came? I can't remember exactly, but thy servant whooped the lion. In other words, I could take this attitude. Well, I got 99 here in the fold. I ain't going to worry about that lion. Let him have one if he'll go on and leave us alone. Amen. But that's not the heart of the shepherd. The heart of the shepherd tonight is to go after that one, looking out for number one. This should be our purpose. This should be our priority in life. And we get this thirdly. This, being involved, will produce a praise that nothing else other than being saved ourselves can produce. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, the Bible said here in Matthew chapter number 18, it said, and if it be so that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. You remember the parable in Luke 15, the same chapter, of the son that went to the far country. The other son, he didn't go to the far country, but they made merry and they killed the fatted calf. And he got jealous. But that father, that whole time, was looking for that one. On any given Sunday, if we could come to church realizing this, our Heavenly Father's looking for one. If we could just pray and ask God to help us, to be burdened about that one, it will produce a praise. The Bible said they rejoice. If you go over to Luke chapter 15, the Word of God said it like this. It said, "And when he found it, go after that which is lost until he find it." I'm going to make a statement tonight. I'm not being critical. I bet. I'm not a gambler. I'd say that every one of us in here have heard this statement, especially if you've been around preachers. Here's the statement. You just can't find anybody that's lost anymore. How many's heard a statement, something like that? I'm going to tell you something right now. The problem's not finding them. The problem's we're not looking for them. They're everywhere. I'm talking about, yes, there's a world full of people that'll say I'm saved and, you know, there's no change in their life. But there's a world full of people, if you just take 10 minutes to talk to them. And I'm going to say something right here. It's really, really important. Sometimes it's 10 minutes to talk to them, but more often than not, it's just a few minutes to listen to them. They'll tell you where they're at if you'll just listen. If you'll listen to them. I believe the woman at the well, Jesus was looking out for number one. If you think about the story over in the book of Acts, when God called, Philip away from the meeting there? Where was that meeting going on at? Was it Samaria? They were having a great revival. And he sent him out into the desert after how many? One. Brother Wayne, this is the honest God's truth. I've preached to as many as 400 men in prison. And you know what I'm talking about. I think you might know. You can only imagine, brother, if you've ever been in a prison service. I'm telling you, them old boys want to go to meeting with you. Amen. I thought about a meeting. I mean, I was preaching my guts out. There's a fellow down on the front row. Brother Larry, all he could say is, "Preach! Preach!" The whole time I was preaching. I finally just stopped, Brother Larry, sweating profusely. I said, "Son, what in the name of the Lord Jesus do you think I'm trying to do?" But I'm going to tell you what I enjoyed more than that. Cell to cell. Just one-on-one. I don't know how many times the guards had called me down because I'd have my ear up to the crack in the door because I don't hear well. Get away from that door. I'm going to tell you, it's a joy to know that there's not a steel door that's ever been built that can keep the Holy Spirit from going here to there. Just one-on-one. Looking out for number one. It'll produce a praise. The Word of God said here, "When he found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me. For I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 which need no repentance." I want you to think about this tonight. Psalm 126, 5 and 6. "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Anybody know the next verse? "And he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, the Word of God shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." My wife and I have been rejoicing the last couple of days. You say, "Pastor, what do you mean?" We talked, a week ago about planting garden? Everything in the garden is up. Everything. Can you believe that? Thank God. It is a joy to see the fruit of the effort that you put forth. I'm kind of upset with myself now. My wife's been trying to get me to do gardening for 15 years. And I've told her it's cheaper to buy them green beans in a bushel. And a whole lot easier. But I'm getting old now and I'm getting soft. Amen. So it's not just about the price of it. It's about the pleasure. Amen. I want to tell you something tonight. For every one of us, it ought to be a pleasure to serve the Lord. He said, my yoke is easy. He said, my burden is light. The last thing in the message tonight, when you're looking out for number one, not only should it be our purpose and should it be our priority, and not only will it produce praise, but here's the main thing tonight. It'll keep someone from perishing. If you look over at Matthew, that last verse that we read there, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. Ain't that wonderful tonight? That we have a heavenly Father that does not want anyone to perish. I'm here tonight because he was long-suffering. He was merciful. Brother Larry, when you get to heaven, I wonder how many times maybe that you're not even aware of that God spared your life as a state policeman, a state trooper. I thank God you're not one today. Our police force are being thrown under the bus. I hope we pray for them. We should make that a matter of prayer. Pray for our military. Pray for our police force. It'll keep them from perishing. Brother Ralph, there's a song. I don't know if it's in our book or not. It's titled Rescue the Perishing. Is it in there? I'm not even going to ask Sister Diana if she can play it because I already know the answer to that. Is it in there? Come on, Brother Ralph, let's sing it tonight. That's how we'll close the service tonight. Rescue the Perishing. Brother Richard, I apologize for not putting on the mic. I just now realized I didn't. See, I've got my hearing aids in, so I think, you know, it's loud. I remember the first time I wore them on a Wednesday night, Brother James said, you're going to have to take them out. We can't hear you. Looking out for number one. One of our ladies, I met her at Lowe's about a week ago. She joined the church probably about a year ago. And this is what she said to me. She said, Pastor, I've been trying to do what you ask us to do. I've been trying to talk to people about Jesus and invite them to church. God encouraged my heart with that. I promise you this, your pastor wants you to have a reward. Your pastor wants you to know the joy of God using your life to make a difference in somebody else's life. Whether they go to this church or not, that's beside the point. God will take care of this church if we'll take care of his business. Amen. Look out for number one. You remember the story in the book of Acts? What happened to that eunuch? He got saved, didn't he? What did him and Philip do? The Bible said they went on their way. Does anybody know the word? Rejoicing. Amen. Amen. The eunuch was glad, Brother Gary, that God sent somebody. And Philip was glad he went. And God was glad for both of them. Amen. Wonder how many that eunuch told when he got back home. The queen might have been the first one. Remember, he carried the treasury for Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. Wouldn't it be good if the queen's there?
Amen.
Amen.